pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to the Hank Jones Poly Sports Show. No, this is not Hank. This is Vito. I'm sitting in for Hank today and started out with the Iowa Hawkeye fight song. Yeah, this is Hank's show. So give props to the Iowa Hawkeyes and his alma mater. So I'm sitting in for the legend Hank Jones tonight. He is away on family obligations. So going to take a break this evening, and sorry to disappoint the Jones fans, but I'm here. Hello, Sue from New Mexico. I see she's out on the switchboard, and hello to everybody out there in podcast land. Thank you for allowing me to sit in for Hank tonight. We'll talk a little bit of sports and certainly talk some politics. A lot going on in the political arena. We certainly know how the left wing, the anti-American, the anti-constitutionalists are creating havoc and wreaking havoc and creating chaos in order to overcome our republic. So today's February 28th. It's normally the last day of February, at least every 3 years it is, three consecutive years, but it's a leap year. It's a presidential election year, so there's 29 days in February. So if you're lucky enough to be born on February 29th, you can finally celebrate your birthday. Happy birthday tomorrow. You celebrate it on March 1st. You're 4 years younger, 3 years younger. I like to keep in check with Hank Jones' laughies. He's got the Babylon Bee laughy. This one came over, a buddy of mine sent this, and this is funny. I have to admit, I think I laughed out loud. Today's laughy is from the Babylon Bee. We all heard the news about Rona Romney McDaniel is resigning as RNC chair. So from the Babylon Bee, Rona McDaniel hired as DNC chair due to extensive experience defeating Republicans. I mean, even the Babylon Bee knows how the swamp, the deep state works. I mean, that's pretty good, I got to say. Oh, my God. Oh. Man in critical condition after hearing slightly different viewpoint. And, of course, with Mitch McConnell giving up his seat. President's physical off to a rocky start as Biden eats knee kick hammer thingy. of course, most physicians today, and I've had a couple of friends, including Holger and I were talking about it, but my friends are given a cognitive test at their doctor's office. One this past week went to a doctor for his follow-up. Another went for a physical, and part of the physical exam, even for the follow-up, was to give him a cognitive test. Here's three words. Give them to me. Repeat what I just gave you. But somehow, the 81-year-old bumbling Biden, the dementia president, is not going to be given a cognitive test. And of course, we all know why. That's the reason why is because he wouldn't pass it, and it would validate what Special Prosecutor Herr had stated 2 weeks ago about Biden being feeble and infirmed and not have any mental awareness. So. Good evening to the BN show and the Alaskan Boyd. Welcome to Hank Jones Poly Sports. Hank's not in today, but I'm sitting in for him. Before we go into the political side of the discussion and the sports side, I wanted to keep Hank's theme and make a couple of announcements concerning celebrity deaths. And this just came over the wire. Comedian Richard Lewis, who's known for his sarcastic wit, was in Curb Your Enthusiasm, of course, and many other shows, and stand-up comedian, passed away at the age of 76. That came as a surprise. You know, he was the he was funny. He had a dry sense of humor. You either had to like it or not. So, he was funny. He wasn't hysterical, in my opinion, but he was funny. But rest in peace, Richard Lewis. This past week on February 22nd. Any NFL football fans have passed. Golden Richards passed away at the age of 73. Richards played for the Dallas Cowboys football team, a wide receiver. He played 7 years in the NFL with the Cowboys, the Bears, and the Broncos. I remember him from the Cowboys. I used to love watching that guy go across and get wide receiver, and he had some great hands. He was a hell of a receiver, and he could catch. And he won a Super Bowl in 1978 with the Cowboys. And Richard died of congestive heart failure. So rest in peace, Golden Richards. Actor Gary Sinise's son, Mac, and I thought it was interesting that his name, Mac, I believe was NYPD Blue. No, it was CSI New York is where Gary Sinise played the medical examiner, and his nickname was Mac. I thought it was kind of ironic, but Gary Sinise's son, Mac, passed away at the age of 33 after losing his battle with cancer. Sinise was said to be heartbroken. 33 years old is just absolutely too young. It's entirely too young. And then another young death occurred. The show Pawn Stars, not P-O-R-N, but P-A-W-N, which takes place in Las Vegas, and the lead is Rick Harrison. You know, the bald guy has an infectious laugh. It's actually a neat show to watch if you've got nothing to watch. It can be educational. And are they staged? Probably, but it's pretty fun to watch. But anyways. Rick Harrison's 39-year-old son, Adam Harrison, died from fentanyl overdose. And that's pretty sad. Rick Harrison released a statement. Yes, I can confirm Adam died from a fentanyl overdose. Rick, 58, told the Post in a statement, fentanyl turned my son into someone he wasn't. And that brought with it bad decisions and spending time in jail. Sadly, Rick Harrison is not alone. With the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime's open border policy, with their globalist policy to adhere to the United Nations 2030 agenda, they've opened the borders. They've opened it to the Mexican drug cartels. They've opened it to the Chinese, the communist Chinese, who are sponsoring trafficking fentanyl into the United States, among other drugs. It's really, really sad that this happened. And of course, if they're living in Nevada, it's very close to the border. But you know what? Fentanyl has no borders. Once it's let in through our southern borders, thanks to the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni regime's open border policy, it kills our children. It kills adults. And it's a lethal drug. You know, sports wise, I enjoy talking sports, and I know that Hank talks politics first, and so, you know, we'll talk a little bit of politics, we'll talk a little bit of sports, and towards the end of the show, we'll talk some sports. The NCAA March Madness coming up. Friday is March the 1st, so you have conference championships that have begun or that are in play right now. And so a team that may be on the bubble or not yet in the in March Madness, the Final 64, can actually win their way in by winning a conference championship. So that's kind of fun to watch. There's a bunch of political news going on, and – First of all, the establishment, I think, is running scared in Washington, D.C. The deep state, the Washington, D.C. syndicate, the cabal, whatever you want to call them, I think are scared. And they're scared of we the people, because once again, 2016 is emerging. And we the people have had enough. We've had enough of the corruption. We've had enough of the anti-American politics. We've had enough of disrespecting the United States Constitution. We've had enough of suppressing America's rights, Americans' rights, including the right to free speech, the right to peaceably assemble, a right to a free press, the Second Amendment right to bear arms, the Sixth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, states' rights. And we've watched the corruption that's unfolded over the last 1,135 days since the installation of Joe Biden. The total disregard for the U.S. Constitution, total disregard for the rule of law, which the left wing enjoys using the cliche rule of law. And given what's transpired over the last month and a half with regards to the primary election process, specifically the Republican Party primary process, and once again, one candidate has dispatched all challengers except for one right now, Ted Cruz. I'm sorry, that was 2016, Nikki Hindenburg Haley. President Trump has soundly defeated all challengers, soundly defeated all challengers. And it's sending probably tremors to Washington, D.C. And today, or yesterday, Mitch McConnell has announced that he will be stepping down from his longtime position as Republican leader in the United States Senate at the end of the year. He served almost two decades, 17 years, as the Senate Republican leader, whether it's majority leader or minority leader. And a member of the Uniparty, clearly, with his actions, yes, he certainly was the catalyst in defeating Merrick Garland's nomination to the Supreme Court. And then we see what kind of individual Merrick Garland truly is, how vindictive, how anti-American the head of the Department of Justice truly is. But I'm sure, you know, Merrick Garland is following orders. But the Kentucky senator is stepping down. He should have stepped down in 2000 before the 2020 midterm elections. I'm sorry, 2022 midterm elections, when he sabotaged the midterms, which ensured that Chuck Schumer would continue as majority leader of the United States Senate. If you might remember, Senator McConnell, who I like to call Foghorn Leghorn, stated that we don't have quality candidates, and that's why Republicans aren't doing well in the midterm. And that was absolutely a slap in the face to each and every Republican who is running for the United States, for a United States Senate seat. And the Senate fundraising chair the Florida Senator Rick Scott took exception to those remarks made by the minority leader, Mitch McConnell. And he called McConnell out. And Rick Scott paid the price for that because he dared to call down a member of the Uniparty. And how dare Mitch McConnell make such a statement? Because really, any Republican is better than any brain-dead, destructive Democrat. Anti-constitutional Democrat. They toe the party line, and it was certainly important for Republicans to capture the United States Senate. But then again, Mitch McConnell would have been the House Majority Leader, so it wouldn't have meant much, would it have? But The 82-year-old did suffer some medical issues this past year after falling in Washington, D.C., which I'm sure led, quickened his decision to leave. Just so you know, McConnell worked as a congressional aide in the Gerald Ford administration. That goes back to 1974 to 1976. So that gives you another idea how old the establishment honk is. He was first elected to the U.S. Senate in Kentucky in 1984. And thanks to President Trump in 2018, he did win re-election. And, of course, he stabbed President Trump in the back. So McFossil will be stepping down at the end of 2024. So the question now remains, who would vie for the leadership seat? And there are three names that come into play quickly, and that's South Dakota Senator John Thune, Texas Senator John Cornyn, and Wyoming Senator John Barrasso. So the deep state will install their own. I did hear another name, which many people did like, and that was Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Wouldn't that be something? I think with a Trump presidency and a Rand Paul as Senate Majority Leader, I think the liberals would absolutely go ballistic. The left wing, the Uniparty, would absolutely go apocalyptic. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves. And that would be an interesting choice. Florida Senator Rick Scott stated he was not interested. So, kudos to Senator Scott for being up front. But I'm not sure about – I certainly would not want a John Cornyn. Not sure about Barroso and Thune. Today started the House impeachment inquiry hearing. And Hunter, drughead, first son, drug son Biden – was behind closed doors giving his testimony. You got to know that the pious and dishonest Democrats are doing all they can to protect and shield the corrupt Joe Biden and his rotten crime family. And, of course, the deep state will make sure to use kid gloves for the corrupt president's drug-addicted son in questioning him and his business relationships with communist China, with Ukraine, like Burisma. So will anything be done? Not sure that the Uniparty will allow the impeachment of Joe Biden. Certainly the pressure is starting to amp up on Joe Biden. I mean, how could it not? It's just one scandal after another with this guy. The deep state is doing all they can to protect Biden. He is a member of the Senate Good Old Boys Club. And all's forgiven for using his political office for personal gains. Whether the personal gains is a quid pro quo with Ukraine and withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee, which Joe Biden admitted to, which Joe Biden also indicted then sitting President Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. We're not sure about what the relationship was between Hunter Biden and the Ukrainian energy company Burisma, other than Hunter Biden sat on the board, was collecting $84,000 a month. How much of that went to Joe Biden? Did Joe Biden use his influence to get his son appointed to launder money through the Ukrainian energy? I mean, there are other politicians whose children were also engaged in Ukraine, which goes to how corrupt Ukraine is, has been, and that was John Kerry, whose stepson Chris Hines also sat on the board of Burisma, also was acquiring, reaping rewards from Ukraine, but then did step down from the board. It's also said that Pelosi's son was also involved with Ukrainian energy, and as was Mitt Romney's daughter. So Those two are unconfirmed, but two confirmed would be Hunter Biden and Chris Hines. Of course, John Kerry is a scumbag. He's an anti-American scumbag. So, and sorry, Hank, I don't mean to be direct. I know this is your show. Also announcing her resignation, as everyone probably has heard by now, but Rona Romney McDaniel announced her resignation of March the 8th, following the establishment candidate Nikki Haley getting trounced in her home state of South Carolina by Donald J. Trump in the Republican primary. To boot, it was also a message to her investors, the anti-Trumper Koch brothers, and of course Reid Hoffman had also pulled his funding earlier or prior to the South Carolina primary. But Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, could not win her home state. She got trounced by President Trump. So the establishment, the cabal, the deep state, the Washington, D.C. syndicate, who despise Donald Trump, are seeing the writing on the wall, because we the people have had enough of the corruption. We've had enough of being betrayed by our politicians, and we've had enough of watching the total disrespect and disregard of our U.S. Constitution. 535 members of Congress, members of the executive branch, the president, vice president, take an oath of office to protect and defend the United States Constitution, and they have failed to do so. The American people have witnessed the corruption, the two-tiered justice system, as Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime have weaponized the Department of Justice to go after President Trump to silence him. In addition, you have a global cause to silence President Trump. World Economic Forum being the center of that attention. And you should focus your sights and read more about the World Economic Forum, which is run by Klaus Schwab. Specifically in 2017, where Klaus Schwab paired up with George Soros. Yes, George Soros. You hear that name, but you have to let it resonate. George Soros is an anti-American. Yet he's a profiteer. He's reaped rewards handsomely when he was in bed with Barack Hussein, Satoru, Obama. George Soros and his corruption was thrown out of Russia when Vladimir Putin became president of Russia, because Soros was trying to corner the oil markets in Russia. And of course, George Soros also brought the UK to its needs financially, which the royal family had to bail out. And now he set his sights on the United States of America and upending. Yes, upending our constitutional republic. George Soros and his left-wing radical anti-American organizations like the Open Society and other politically correct sounding name organizations invest heavily in candidates who will create havoc, who will undermine the rule of law in the United States. While we focus on the big picture, Soros coyly goes after the little guy, such as attorney generals, such as state's attorneys, those that have access to the rule, those that are to enforce the rule of law. And you see that in cities all across the United States. And a good example is how much George Soros, his Open Society, and his foundations invested in the San Francisco state's attorney's race and Chase Bowden. Chase Bowden is a Marxist. Parents were with the Weather Underground and were domestic terrorists, and were in jail as a result of their terrorist actions against the United States, including killing a police officer, including robbing a bank, and I believe they killed the Wells Fargo-type guards, blowing up buildings, federal buildings. And as a result of Bowden's mommy and daddy going to jail, a young child, young Chase Bowden, was then adopted by two other domestic terrorists, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. And they raised him. Now, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers are devout Marxists. They despise our constitutional republic. They're also the author, they both are the author of Prairie Fire. Now, Prairie Fire is a manifesto by the left-wing anti-Americans, such as Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground. Prairie Fire, the politics of revolutionary and anti-imperialism, political statement of the Weather Underground. The edition of Prairie Fire is published and copyrighted by a communications company in response to a written request from the authors of the concerns. And who were the authors? This was printed in 1974. Terry Robbins was part of that. Teddy Gold and Diana Outen. Three comrades who gave their lives in the struggle. That was it, in the struggle. That's the way that they looked at it. And they despise our constitutional republic. Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers, Jeff Jones, and Celia Sojourn. Four radical anti-Americans. Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, they took Chase Bowden under their wing. And they raised that child who became an attorney and then became the state's attorney for San Francisco. And then went into a catch-and-release type program. Crime in San Francisco was out of control. And even the liberals in San Francisco decided they had enough. And they recalled Chase Bowden just 2 years ago. They recalled the left-winger, a left-wing Marxist, because of his radical, soft-on-crime mentality. Let the criminals go. And we saw all the videos, too. We saw the videos of these gangs going into, you know, high-end department stores and stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars of merchandise, going into Walgreens and stealing merchandise, going into retail stores, going into convenience stores, and it became such a pandemic that these brick-and-mortar stores started closing and started announcing their closing. Walgreens closing all of their stores in the city proper of San Francisco. Hell, In-N-Out Burger doing the same thing, a staple in California. All because of policies from radical left-wing state's attorneys that were sponsored by George Soros. San Francisco, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Atlanta, Georgia. You know, Fannie Lewis. And her corruption. Letitia Soros James up in New York. They all have the same thing in common. They despise Trump, but that's what George Soros wanted in that legal capacity. Because it's not about the rule of law. It's about destroying President Trump. It's about breaking President Trump. And there were other state's attorneys across the United States in Orlando. There was Los Angeles, of course, Francisco. This is how George Soros conducted his way of dismembering America's constitutional republic and the rule of law. Back to Rona McDaniel. Rona Romney McDaniel announces her resignation effective March the 8th, which happens to be right after Super Tuesday. She got the message after the establishment candidate Nikki Haley's Hindenburg campaign got trounced in her home state of South Carolina by President Trump. And it's a message that's sent to the establishment in the Republican Party. And Rona Romney McDaniel saw the writing on the wall, as did Mitch McConnell, as have others on both sides of the political aisle. The uniparty is concerned. And I believe there's tremendous concern by the deep state, because we the people are ignoring the syndicates tampering with the U.S. election. We've had enough of it. And their attempt to destroy Republican candidate for president Donald Trump. The Washington D.C. deep state syndicate has pulled out all the stops in stopping President Trump, destroy Donald Trump, insert their globalist United Nations anti-republic agenda. That would be Agenda 2030 or the 2030 agenda, the Paris Accord, and the climate change hoax. Donald J. Trump opened up Pandora's box by exposing the corruption in the U.S. government. And it was one day after another where the establishment got together to beat on President Trump every single day of his presidency, created a false narrative, never give Trump the benefit of the doubt. But despite all of that by the Washington, D.C. syndicate, Trump's presidency was extremely successful. Building peace around the world, showing peace through strength. You know, Iran was reeling. The terrorist state of Iran was reeling. Two reasons. Trump didn't take any crap. And it was peace through strength. And secondly, Donald Trump, despite the best effort of the Washington, D.C. deep state, President Trump made it his mission to make America energy independent. And that was trouble for three countries, actually four. But in particular, the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran was reeling, and Russia was reeling, as was OPEC, because America had not only become energy independent, but had become an exporter of oil. And that energy independence had an effect on every major facet of America's business. Everything, transportation, utility costs. The American people had more money to save, to spend, and the economy was doing well. But it didn't adhere to the United Nations 2030 agenda, nor the Paris Peace Accord. Because the Paris Peace Accord seeks to extract anywhere from $4 trillion over the next 7 years to $80 trillion over the next 100 years from American Treasury, from the American people, with their climate change hoax. And it's imperative that America become energy dependent and be mediocre with the rest of the world. But President Trump, despite the best efforts of the left wing, really focused on making America energy independent. So from the corrupt, drunk, nasty Pelosi to crooked Joe Biden to the anti-American Barack Hussein Sator Obama, and of course exposing the deep state and the uniparty, President Trump was successful. But he also has some thick skin. All of these individuals were working to undermine and dismantle our constitutional republic. They worked daily to create a false narrative. They used subversive language, intentionally misinforming the American people with their campaign of disinformation and misinformation. Oh, and you've heard it. Oh, America's democracy, the democracy, democracy. That's all you hear about. America's a constitutional republic. And it says so in Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the Obama alumni regime have failed the American people. And the American people see that. And they see the cover-up by the legacy media. They see the cover-up by those that are identified as Democrats in Washington, D.C., and, of course, those members of the Uniparty. And we watched how Barack Hussein Tatoro Obama and his corrupt anti-American regime weaponized the Internal Revenue Service and Department of Justice back between 2009 and 2016 to go after, to squash the Tea Party and go after U.S. journalists and then spy on a presidential candidate, then spy on a president-elect, and then spy on a sitting president. You know, Leslie Stahl of CBS, CNN, DNC, CBS News challenged President Trump's assertion, what do you mean? There's no proof and evidence that President Obama spied on you. Well, yes, now there is. And the legacy media tried to cover this up. And now we are witnessing how Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime have also weaponized the Department of Justice, creating a two-tiered level of justice, one for the swamp and one for everyone else, discarding the rule of law, because the rule of law is simply a cliche used by the Washington, D.C. swamp. Their attempt to discard the Bill of Rights. Yes, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom to peaceably assemble, freedom to redress your government for grievances. You have Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime starting the Ministry of Truth inside the Department of Homeland Security, actually starting a department called the Ministry of Truth. Now, they have let the head of that office go, but the Biden-Obama alumni regime are still engaged, actively engaged in censoring speech in America. And the American people see this, whether we see it on X or other social media platforms, or we get these messages that what you stated is not necessarily true. Excuse me. Who determines that? The federal government? And then we find out just recently in the last 2 weeks that the Biden and Obama alumni regime have been in contact with Amazon to suppress books, to suppress information on Amazon concerning the Wuhan virus. So credible medical practitioners who challenge the government, the United States government, and the World Health Organization's so-called findings about the Wuhan virus is not allowed by the Biden-Obama alumni regime. That is not for the executive branch of government to determine. That is in direct violation of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But they don't care about the Constitution because who's going to challenge them? Is the legacy media going to challenge them? Hell no. Legacy media is not going to challenge Democrat sitting administration. They're not going to challenge. They're going to excuse it. But the American people have had enough. And as a result of the American people's ire, Donald J. Trump has emerged as the Republican candidate who will be the Republican nominee come after the Super Tuesday. Because all of the deep state candidates have been dispatched. We know that Hindenburg Haley campaign, it's on life support right now. Heavyweight Chris Christie, he was only in the race as an anti-Trumper. That was his entire agenda. He was financed, just like Mike Pence was financed, to be an anti-Trumper. No policy, an anti-Trumper. That didn't last very long. Matter of fact, it was Pence who got out of the race before the heavyweight Christie. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, great governor in Florida, done a fantastic job, but he was ill-advised to run for president. He was ill-advised. His ego got stroked, all by the anti-Trump movement. And think about this. You know, making America great is an anti-Trump movement, right? Because President Trump wants to make America great, the anti-Trumpers want to stop that movement. Why? We're supposed to be living in a capitalist free enterprise society, and you're opposed to a capitalist free enterprise making America great society? So Ron DeSantis is an afterthought. He's gone. Anti-Trumper Asa Hutchinson, former governor of Arkansas, only in the race because he hated Trump. Gone. Fails to get, I think, 1%. Now, newcomer Vivek Ramaswamy, very good orator. Nobody knows much about him. But he ran a positive campaign. He ran against the institution. He challenged the legacy media. They certainly didn't like that. The one person who ran a positive campaign, an old-fashioned positive campaign, was Senator Tim Scott. Very impressed by Senator Scott. I was very impressed with his announcement to run for president of the United States in the Republican primary. Has a great story, but he kept it positive. His issues were domestic policy issues. His issues were strength of the United States. He didn't besmirch Trump. He didn't even go after any of the other candidates. He ran a positive, uplifting campaign. That's the old-fashioned way. Of course, now there's the former South Carolina governor and former U.S. ambassador, Nikki Haley, whose campaign is on life support. And she's lost two of her major donors, as I talked earlier, one of them being Reid Hoffman. The other are the Koch brothers. And to this day, I still don't fail to understand why the Koch brothers aren't on board with President Trump. They are capitalists. They are free enterprise men. And the billionaires all have a hard-on for President Trump, excuse me, ladies. And they invested heavily into Nikki Haley's campaign, and now it's nothing more than the Hindenburg. It's been deflated and is on life support. And it's on life support even after Nikki Haley, she pulled out all the left-wing wokeisms, you know, the women card, the race card, the age card. She's trying everything and anything. And she's losing a lot of favor for taking that stupid position. Well, good evening, James and Boyd, the Alaskan. Good to see you, gents. So President Trump is reportedly to tap North Carolina GOP Chairman Michael Whatley to be the next chairman and his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, as co-chair of the RNC. Now, I see this as positive, and it's positive for a couple of reasons. One, it's time to clean house. Now, when Rona Romney McDaniel leaves, so will many others of the same anti-Trump fervor leave. And the process needs to be this process now, we need to start a weeding out. Weeding out of these anti-Trumpers, weeding out of these establishment honks. And Trump, the second time around, stands the score, understands the players. Now, North Carolina GOP Chair Michael Whatley has not wavered in his support for President Trump. I don't think he'll be a Jeff Sessions. He's certainly saying and doing all the right things. Is he someone who's looking from the outside coming in? Refreshing. And daughter-in-law Lara Trump, she also understands President Trump and what it means to make America great. And President Trump needs this support. And it needs to start inside the RNC. And so the purge has begun. I don't know, since when has being pro-America been a bad thing? I guess that's what the teleprompter had Joe Biden read. And it's since when is putting America first, ahead of the United Nations, putting it ahead of the World Economic Forum, putting it ahead of the EU, putting it ahead of communist China a bad thing? And we saw in 2020 what it meant to put America ahead of communist China, the release of the Wuhan virus. Yeah, there's no such thing as a coincidence, folks. Because when President Trump was starting to tackle the trade deficit issue, with China being the largest country where America had a trade deficit of $535 billion, and President Trump, despite Nancy Pelosi's best effort, despite the swamp's best effort, was successful in putting a plan together. But what he didn't realize was how deep the state is. And I distinctly remember President Xi, the communist Chinese president, his face when President Trump and Xi held that joint photo op. Xi was not happy with Trump announcing measures to close the $535 billion trade deficit, because you know what, folks? That is the American people's money. And when you total up the trade deficit with communist China, with the EU, with Mexico, with Canada, we're talking about over $800 billion, one-fifth of the revenue of the United States. Not only that, at that time, should interest rates go up from zero on the national debt, it escalates the debt even more. And that's what the Biden strategy is, to increase the national debt to unsustainable levels. And it's the program that Joe Biden and the Obama alumni are following that President Trump was not following. And that is what the swamp took exception to. So since the Marxist progressives have assumed power and corrupted every institution in the United States government, it's time to put America first. Place America first endangers the corrupt politicians such as Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, Nancy Pelosi and her husband, and all those engaged in insider trading in the United States Congress who are profiting off the backs of the American people. Making America great is not evil. Making America great is not terrorism. Making America great is great. It's that simple. It's making Americans successful, Americans of all race, creeds, and colors. Because success doesn't know color. It doesn't know gender. But remember, the effort being put forth by the left wing and the Uniparty, who are actively engaged in the subversion of language. And just remember, the left wing, the Uniparty, uses the term democracy ad nauseum. A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic, to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
That was former FBI agent Dan Smoot in 1966-67 made that statement. You can go on YouTube, and I believe it's a 10-minute video. There's also the snippet that's 1 minute long. And he nailed it, the subversion of language. And it's why Barack Hussein Sator Obama set the stage in 2009 with the constant referral of reference of America being a democracy, never calling it a republic, a democracy. Because the subversion of language is to subvert and pervert their intentions. The subversion of language, calling America a democracy, it now becomes ingrained in people's minds, and it becomes an acceptable term. And that's why it's so important that the left wing, the Marxists, groom children. It's why the government comes in and wants to be able to groom children so they can use their subversive language and their subversive tactics in the systematic dismantling of our constitutional republic. A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And it's the reason why swamp dwellers like Barack Hussein, Sator Obama, Nancy Pelosi, the extreme Akeem in the House, Schumer, McConnell, and all of those who follow these individuals will refer to America as a democracy. Because they know a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And as long as they can have one man, one little puppet up as president of the United States, like Joe Biden, they know they can dictate policy. They know that there are no consequences for their actions. And they've also compromised the media in the United States. The legacy media finds ways to excuse actions by Joe Biden. And think about this. In 1,135 days, Joe Biden has basically avoided the media. He's avoided any type of scrutiny, any type of questions. And we're supposed to accept that. President Trump was ridiculed for talking to the media each and every day. We knew where President Trump stood. We have no idea with Joe Biden, other than he needs to take a nap and he loves ice cream. You know, the American people are hurting. And that's a fact. The American people have amassed record debt, credit card debt, record, $1.35 trillion. Never before. But the fact that Joe Biden is placed in hiding, that Joe Biden is placed in seclusion and not having to answer for his failed economic policies, does come out from hiding. It's always the economy's doing great. The subversion of language. There's a reason why Joe Biden was installed as president of the United States. Because a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship, and this is a great trial run. A one-man dictatorship. Since when does the President of the United States not held accountable for his policies, his domestic policies? Absolute and utter failure. The highest inflation in 40 years as a result of the Biden-Obama alumni regime policies. Prices at the pump ever, which means you and me pay for those. That means it impacts our family budgets. You increase our cost of daily business by $30, $40 a week and filling up at the pump, which resulted in higher utility costs, which are, that is a fact. And then you send the chimpanzee Biden out to Massachusetts, and he lauds the fact that they shut down a coal fire plant, or a coal fire plant was shut down in the state of Massachusetts, which resulted, and this wasn't a Republican talking point, this was from the utility company itself. If you shut down this coal fire plant, it will result in a 67% increase in utility costs. And Joe Biden was taking great delight under this green scam agenda of this coal fire plant being shut down in Massachusetts. And what happened? Not only were they paying $4 and $5 a gallon for gas at the pump, but overnight after that coal fire plant shut down in Massachusetts, utility costs didn't go up 67%. They went up 100%. Now you tell me how a family of four who was paying $150, $175 a month for electric gets a bill for $350, $390, $400 for an electric bill. How can they afford that? On top of that, in the New England states, in the northern states, many have oil, heating oil, as a means of heating their houses because the temperatures get so high. And they weren't paying $2.20 and 30 cents a gallon for heating oil. They were paying $5, $6 a gallon for heating oil. Their heating oil bill to fill their 190-gallon tank went from $330 to $900. And you wonder why America's credit card debt has escalated, has zoomed to a $1.35 trillion deficit, the highest ever. And Joe Biden is not made to answer that because he's too feeble to do so. At least that's what Special Prosecutor Hur stated. Doesn't understand. Well, if he doesn't understand, what is he doing serving as President of the United States? What is he doing having access to the nuclear codes if he's not in his right mind? And if he's not well enough to answer simple questions about the economy and his failed economic policies, why is he president of the United States? Because a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And now that swamp is shoving it right in our face. And they're telling us to do something. Well, you know what? The American people are doing something. And right now, our power to vote is essential. And we are voting in record numbers for Donald Trump. Why? Because we see the corruption and we're tired of the corruption that's occurring in Washington, D.C. by those who've been given the keys to our domestic policies, to our foreign policies. I haven't talked about how Biden has fucked up the foreign policy aspect of it. We all know what happened in August of 2020 with the fall of Afghanistan. And once again, I guess Joe Biden is too infirm to accept blame for his failed policies, for the Obama alumni failed policies. And as a result of that the fall of Afghanistan, Communist China just basically walked into Afghanistan and made deal with the Taliban. And you know what's sad? In the last 30 years, the communist Chinese citizens haven't dropped a single drop of blood in Afghanistan. And they profited handsomely as a result of Joe Biden's globalist failed policy. I got one more topic to talk about. I don't know if we should take a break right now, but I'm going to talk about it right now. So the less than genius Kamala Harris, the border czar Kamala Harris, okay, struck this past week, past couple of days. And, you know, I want to talk about this because if you read this article, once again, over time, the Democrat Party playbook is exposed. The Washington, D.C. cabal's playbook is exposed. And this may seem like a simple story, but to me, it tells a lot. And there's two paragraphs in this article that was written by Gateway Pundit's Christina Lalia that really are very telling. And why, again, the phrase, a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship, and the subversion of language specifically started by Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, is relevant to bring out. Because Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama was a community organizer. And Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama is a Marxist. And you want to know why the U.S. government under the Marxist Obama took over one-seventh of the U.S. economy in 2010, and that would be taking over U.S. healthcare? It's come to light in this article in the Gateway Pundit. Kamala Harris announces Biden regime will now allow students to get paid through federal work study to register people to vote. This is wrong on so many levels. This is a conflict of interest on so many levels. You know, we have a crisis at the southern border in the United States. We have a crisis at the Canadian border in the United States. We have Islamic terrorists who are infiltrating the United States through our southern borders. We have the communist Chinese sending their Chinese communist nationals in through the Darien Gap in Panama and Colombia, who are making their way into the United States and are setting up shop in the United States, in Chinatowns all across the United States, which Joe Biden has an office where he had classified documents stored, by the way. As a U.S. senator, he stole those documents. But that's for another story. But Kamala Harris announced yesterday, the Biden regime will now allow students to get paid through federal work study to register people to vote. Nothing to see here, just move along. Harris privately met with a few dozen leaders to push a plan to protect voting rights, which is Democrats speak for flooding the ballot boxes with fraudulent ballots. And don't you like the idea that the subversion of language by Kamala Harris, border czar Kamala Harris, and Joe Biden and the Democrat Party is always talking about protecting voter rights? And yet it is the Democrat Party in Colorado that unilaterally decided to disenfranchise Republican voters, denying their ability to vote for their candidate by unilaterally decided to take President Trump off of the Colorado ballot. In Maine, the same thing occurred with the Democrat Secretary of State unilaterally deciding to keep President Trump's name off the ballot. And the Democrats have the audacity to talk about protecting voter rights? And it turns out that the Democrat Party are the ones who are seeking to suppress voting. We have seen those who would loudly attempt to interfere in the lawful votes of the American people and attempt to question the integrity of a fair and free election system, border czar Harris said before the roundtable in the Indian Treaty Room. We have seen the rise in threats against poll workers. In fact, I met some recently in Georgia who had harrowing experiences in terms of how they were threatened, their well-being as well as their livelihood. That's a load of horse shit, okay? Because you'll remember in Philadelphia how the black, what was it called? The group who was standing at a polling center with a billy club, and they were asking people who they were going to vote for. And if you didn't say Barack Hussein, Satoru, or Obama, you were not allowed to vote. They were suppressing vote. But see, that didn't matter, because it was the Democrats, okay, who were interfering with an election. It was the strong-armed thugs of the Democrat Party pressing votes. Now, when a Democrat such as a left-winger like Border Czar Harris talks about free and fair elections, it's how will the Democrat Party break an election? They don't want a free and fair election, because if they want a free and fair election, guess what? They wouldn't be working so hard. They wouldn't have enlisted George Soros and his foundations to be spending millions of dollars under this again, politically correct-sounding organization, First Amendment, freedom of speech organization, to prohibit President Trump from running for president of the United States. President Trump has never been convicted of insurrection. He's never been charged for insurrection. But you see, he's been charged in the court of public opinion by the left-wingers who are interrupting a free and fair election. They are infringing upon the voting rights of American citizens. It's their way, the left-wing way, or no way. And they're absolutely shameless in their commentary. You notice Border Czar Harris didn't talk about the election interference in 2012. No, didn't talk about that in Philadelphia. That's irrelevant. Let's make up some nonsense about poll workers being threatened. And of course, the only other card left for the left wing to play is the race card. And Border Czar Harris said she'll be heading to Selma, Alabama on Sunday to commemorate the Bloody Sunday to remember John Lewis and others. Many of us will be in Selma on Sunday to exploit the race baiting. Oh, no, it doesn't say race. Sorry, it doesn't say that. It says many of us will be in Selma on Sunday to commemorate the Bloody Sunday to remember the great John Lewis and Amelia Boynton and so many others, to issue a call yet again for Congress to pass Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, Border Czar Harris said. Isn't it ironic that the left wing doesn't want voter ID and they consider that an infringement upon freedom? They don't want to know who's voting as long as they're voting for the left-wing candidate. Now, if you're an individual who tries to get into the DNC convention in this coming July and you don't have the proper ID, you're not let in. That's okay. But then to exploit the Voting Rights Act and to make people victims, the dishonest Democrat Party believes that showing an ID to prove who you are so you could have a free and fair election is racist and is infringing upon your right to vote. Oh, that means illegal aliens could be voting. That's another issue. So in reading through this article, passage of the Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. Many people continue to ask, why was this act passed? Why was the government so intent on taking over one-seventh of the U.S. economy? And obviously, with the anti-Americans that are in government, in the executive branch of government, in the United States Congress, and in the legislative branch of government, and yes, in the judicial branch of government, the idea is to shred our constitutional republic. Charles Krauthammer in 2009 stated that Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama will seek to systematically dismantle the U.S. Constitution. And he's absolutely right. He was right. May he rest in peace. And this next paragraph in this article just, to me, validates exactly why the U.S. government, under Barack Hussein, Sator Obama, a Marxist community organizer, sought to take over the health care in the United States. Because if they control the health care, they can control all other aspects of the healthcare, using the healthcare as a catalyst for their extreme anti-American agenda. The plan includes emailing instructions on how to register to vote to everyone enrolled in the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, allowing students to get paid through federal work study for helping people to register to vote and working as a non-partisan poll worker. That's an oxymoron. Implementing initiatives to protect election workers, and announcing three national days of action to promote voting. The Biden-Obama alumni regime is going to use the Affordable Care Act to advance their activity in enrolling people to vote. So now the United States government has access to each and every individual who is covered by health care and can use that database in marketing their bias. The U.S. government controls the health care. They can dictate narratives. I mean, what a way to further your base. Look what we're doing for you. Please register to vote. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a U.S. citizen or not, because with the left-wing globalist regime, they don't care. They don't care if you're a U.S. citizen. The idea is to get enough votes to vote for the left wing in order to further their radical anti-American agenda. I mean, it's truly incredible what we are witnessing today in the United States. You wondered why Barack Hussein, Sator Obama, a community organizer, was so intent on taking over 1/7 of the U.S. economy? One, it's to condition the American people into believing that the government is going to take care of you from cradle to grave, including your health care. And now the United States government is in the health care business. In addition to being in the health care business, they can monitor each and every American under Medicare and under the Affordable Care Act, which has expanded their base from Medicare. Truly amazing what we're witnessing. And you see, with time going by, we've been conditioned to accept the fact that the United States government is taking over our health care. Good evening, iGuy. Nice to see you. Hope you're doing well. I know the Rangers are on tonight. The New York Rangers are playing tonight. Can't find the game, but I do have the Providence Marquette game on basketball, NCAA. In replace of that. So, Christine, I urge you to read the article by Christina Layla. Fantastic article. And once again, you know, the Biden and Obama alumni regime doesn't give a crap about the border, and they're sending Dopey Joe down there on Thursday to the border, to Brownsville, not really the border, but Brownsville for a campaign stop. A photo op. To profess that he cares about the border, because they know that all Joe has to do is read from a teleprompter and he knows nothing else. He's not going to have to answer any questions. And here we go again. You know, Joe Biden is not going to be held accountable for his actions. And now the Biden and Obama alumni regime are going to use Obamacare as their advertising tool to get more people to vote. You know, the border doesn't matter. The highest gas prices ever doesn't matter. The highest grocery prices doesn't matter. It's about them retaining power. And that's why the subversion of language was important. So I'm going to take a quick break, kind of hydrate a bit and then go to get into the sports side of things. I've talked enough. I'm sure you guys are getting tired of listening to me. Oh, you know what? Here's one. Here's the Beatles, the Tax Man. It's 2 minutes and 43 seconds. We'll be back. I'll be back before that. But given that we're in tax season, here's the Beatles taking us into a break here with the Tax Man.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
He said, do not adjust your televisions. That was the newest member of the San Francisco Election Commission speaking in her native tongue. She is not a U.S. citizen yet. She is a Chinese citizen on the Election Commission in San Francisco, a commission which oversees local, state, and federal elections. And with that, we bring in John Dennis, who's chair of the Republican.
Embedded inside there. Can you guys hear me? Huh. I wonder why everybody's resetting. Hello? Can you hear me? James? Hi, guy? Did we lose sound again? Oh, my God. All right. And real quick, with regards to sports, we got March Madness. Okay, thanks, James. We have March Madness starting. Right now, you've got the NCAA. Got a couple of hands up here. Let's see. I think it's Sue. Hey, Sue. How are you?
Hi. I was just going to let you know that I could hear you. Was that you doing that Chinese lady coming on? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did that. That was Kelly Wong. That was a clip from Kelly Wong when she was talking about being sworn in to the San Francisco Board of Elections. Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I couldn't figure out what was going on, and then you said, you know, could people hear you? So I was just going to let you know I could hear you now.
Okay.
I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, my goodness
I
gracious.
I thought BTR was doing some weird thing or something. Anyway, good show.
Thank you, Sue. Take it easy.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Yeah, that was actually Chinese sound was Kelly Wong. So sports wise, and a couple of things. One, there's a great article in American Thinker. It is titled University of Iowa basketball player Caitlin Clark exposes racism in media. Caitlin Clark is a standout lady Hawkeye. She is the best basketball player, I'd say, you know, in America right now. She is setting all kinds of records, and she's 51 points away from breaking Pete Maravich's all-time record. And she's not getting the accolades. She's not getting the accolades because she's white. The American Thinker article is absolutely fantastic. You know, Hank is an alumni of Iowa and Iowa Hawkeye. You know, Caitlin Clark and the fact that she's been so successful has been an absolute draw. People are flocking to watch the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're ranked number 6 in the country, the Lady Hawkeyes. They have a 24-4 record, and they come because they want to watch Caitlin Clark. She's doing just some great things. She's setting all kinds of records. The all-time NCAA scoring record was set in 1970 by Pete Maravich. And with two games remaining in the season, Miss Clark is averaging 30 points a game. She needs 51 points to break Pistol Pete's record that he set during his 3 seasons in Baton Rouge. But the leftist media treatment of Caitlin Clark shows you just how corrupt the compromised media really is. The mainstream media avoids reporting that the Hawkeyes guard overtook the previous NCAA all-time women's scoring record holder, Kelsey Plum, in 13 fewer career games while taking fewer shots, or that Caitlin Clark's deep three-point shot, showmanship, and competitive intensity have sold out never-before-sold-out college arenas. And that would be never before sold out college arenas for women's basketball. You know, we hear about women's rights and women and women and women. And when the left wing is faced with the ability to prop up a biological woman for the greatness that she shows in her craft, her expertise, her sport, they come down and play the identity politics, and they shun the accomplishments of a woman. And that is sick. That is exactly the Cloward and Piven strategy, the communist strategy, the Marxist movement strategy. The mainstream media purposely avoids the point that Caitlin Clark is doing something no one in history of women's basketball has ever done. She is selling out arenas everywhere she goes and is responsible for the biggest television ratings in women's basketball history. Isn't that newsworthy? Of course it is. But not to the left-wing woke cause in America today, because they base things on identity. It's race. Is it because Caitlin Clark is the wrong color in the multicultural, politically correct Marxist movement? So what's the problem? The media's problem with Caitlin Clark is that she is white. And apparently black women's basketball players resent the accolades and attention the six-footer is getting. The WNBA can't fill their stadiums. And the haters in the media and the WNBA are all over it. This is disappointing, okay, this next paragraph. Cheryl Swoops, the first player to be signed in the WNBA, a 3-time WNBA MVP and named one of the league's top 15 players of all time, condescendingly commented on a talk show that she wasn't impressed and dismissed the hoopla because she's 25, she takes 40 shots a game, and it took Clark 5 years to break the record. So once again, the woke movement didn't do their homework because Cheryl Swoops is wrong. And sadly, because of Cheryl Swoops' myopic race view, she didn't do her homework. She couldn't comprehend a white girl could play record-setting basketball. And sadly, instead of lauding this lady's achievement, it comes down to race in this Marxist society, in this woke society. But after her comments went viral, Cheryl Swoops later spoke to Caitlin and said she made a mistake. The media wouldn't say Swoops totally embarrassed herself or apologized for being an ass. For the record, Clark is 22. She's not 25. She hasn't finished her 4 years at the University of Iowa. Okay? So we have Caitlin Clark is 22, not 25. She hasn't finished her 4 years at the University of Iowa, so she's not been there for 5 years, as Swoops recklessly mentioned. And Clark has taken fewer shots per game than Swoops did when she was in college. Caitlin has two more regular season games. Then there are the NCAA playoffs. And I'll tell you, I am disappointed in Cheryl Swoops. I did think better of her. I didn't think she would go down the road of identity politics. And, you know, it's really sad because, you know, Obama resurrected the phony race tensions, the racial issues in America, creating racial tensions. And there's no place for it in sports. We cheer the player for our team. I don't care what color that individual is. My favorite player growing up for the New York Yankees was Roy White, number 6, a left fielder. Loved the way he was a switch hitter, but I could give a crap that he was black. My favorite second baseman was Willie Randolph. Smooth, great player, great bat. Had okay speed. But I also loved Thurman Munson. I mean, this whole movement is asinine. The achievement of Caitlin Clark is being undermined by the woke system. And Caitlin Clark should be lauded for what she did and what she's doing in order to resurrect women's sports, to show the achievements, and rightly so, of a lady who's about to break a 54-year record by the great Pete Maravich. I really thought better and I thought bigger of Swoops, who is an outstanding player in her own right. And in a time when women, biological women, are deserving of accolades for their profession, for their sport, the left wing shows their animus, their bias, and their racism. But you can't say anything about racism. It's only they can talk about racism. The problem with Cheryl Swoops whining about Caitlin Clark taking 40 shots a game during this historic march to Clark's greatness, she takes fewer shots and has taken fewer shots per game than Swoops did in college. The race baiters, which include those people of color, are flat-out haters. And achievements apparently only pertain to their actions. And it's a very sad situation. The movement continues to drive a wedge into America's fabric, which is all by design and a calculated move, which we know Barack Hussein Satoru Obama started in during his 2009 term as president. And the shameless left-wing Marxists using the Saul Alinsky and the Cloward and Piven strategy to divide and conquer, using identity politics based on emotion. And that emotion is hate. And sadly, the achievements of one Caitlin Clark should be lauded for what she's doing. She has try to perfect her craft. It's what Tiger Woods did in golf. It's what Jack Nicklaus did in golf. It's what players do, like Michael Jordan did in basketball. Michael Jordan was the complete player. It was Dean Smith who taught him defense, and it was Michael Jordan's natural ability to score, which makes him the greatest player ever to play professional basketball. And those achievements should be lauded. Bill Russell's achievement when he was with the Boston Celtics and he dominated the NBA, that's an achievement. As is the current players in the NBA. Can't name them all. Don't watch it anymore. NFL, Barry Sanders, one of the greatest runners ever. Black. Who cares? The fact is, Barry Sanders was a great running back. Dick Butkus was a great linebacker. A mean linebacker. Butkus was white. Who cares? The fact is, he was a great football player. Babe Ruth, one of the greatest ball players ever to live. Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, was a great ball player. He got in because of his ability to play baseball, not just because of the color of his skin. And he won MVP awards to back up that great play. It's really sad where we're at today, especially given the retired players like Cheryl Swoops. Her animus caused her to give us misinformation. She didn't do her homework. She shot from the hip, and she showed her true colors. It didn't take Clark 5 years to break the record. She hasn't even been in college for 4 years. And it's sad that it's come down to that. And once again, if you're not a cross-dressing male who's playing a female sport, you're not given the proper accolades because of color. But the left wing has no shame because that's the Marxist movement. And it's sad. It's really sad. And Caitlin Clark deserve better. I hope she goes on to break the record, Pete Maravich's record. What an achievement by this young lady. What an achievement. What a career in basketball she could have. And all she's focused on is playing basketball. And that's great, because she's great at it. And that what should be lauded is her greatness to play basketball. I know Hank would be talking about the men's basketball. March Madness is an exciting time. There are teams that are trying to make it, that are automatically get a bye into the Final 64. And there are some teams that are on the fence right now, including the Iowa Hawkeyes, who may not get an invite. Probably will not get an invite in the Big Ten, out of the Big Ten. But if in the conference champions, in the conference finals, if the Iowa Hawkeyes, who are at 9-9, I'm sorry, are at 17-12, can go deep into the playoffs, including maybe winning the Big Ten, and my fingers are crossed for Hank's alma mater, they would get a bye into, they'd earn their way into the March Madness. The Purdue Boilermakers are ranked number 2 out of the Big Ten Conference. They're ranked number 2 in the nation, so they would be in, irrespective of winning the Big Ten. The Illini are also most likely in. Into March Madness, irrespective of their finishing in the conference championship. The Houston Cougars in the Big 12 Conference, they're ranked number 1 overall in the country. Um, they're they're automatically going to be in. The Iowa State Cyclones are ranked number 8, and the Kansas Jayhawks out of the Big 12 as well are ranked 7. Baylor, I don't know how they continue to do it, but they're 20-8. They're ranked 15. So if someone, if a team like the Texas Tech Raiders or BYU or Kansas State Wildcats can have a great Big 12 conference playoff and end up winning that conference, they could get a buy-in at 17-11, and it could upset the apple cart. So it should be quite interesting. The ACC, North Carolina, and Duke are the two top front runners, although Virginia Cavaliers are 20-8. Clemson Tigers are 20-8, so they stand a good chance of getting into the March Madness. It looks like Virginia Tech is 15-13. That's Bigfoot's Virginia Tech. They probably won't have to win the ACC championship in order to get into March Madness. Same with Miami Hurricanes. They didn't have a very good year. They're 15-14. The AAC is South Florida Bulldogs of out of Tampa, Florida. They are ranked number 25. They lead their conference. Although a win by, let's say, Florida Atlantic, which was a Cinderella team a couple of years back, or SMU, they could actually do damage and get into the March Madness. So could Temple Owls. Temple, you know, they had usually had a good basketball team that they fielded in the past, but their record overall is 10-17. They would have to win the AAC in order to get into March Madness. Let's see, who else? Is the Pac? Where's the Pac? Big Sky. That'd be Eastern Washington, Northern Colorado Color Bears there, Big South Conference, Big Ten, we talked about that, Big West, UC Irvine, Coastal Athletic, Charlotte Cougars. They are another team that, the Charleston Cougars, they are a pretty good team. They were an upset team in March Madness, so they are probably in at 22-7 record, even if they lose the Coastal Athletic Association. UNC Wilmington, they're 20-8. They could also get in without having to win the Coastal Athletic. Conference USA, small bracket now. They had a bunch of defectors. Louisiana Tech Bulldogs are 20-8. Western Kentucky is 19-8. Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech have been in the March Madness. They will probably need to win or come in second in the Conference USA Conference Championship. Liberty stands a chance. Middle Tennessee stands a chance, but they're going to have to win the conference, I believe. And let's see. The Ivy League, they could get in. Cornell is 20-5. Princeton is 21-3. Yale is 18-8. But I would think that one of those three are going to have to win the Ivy League championship in order to get a bye into or an invite into the March Madness. The Mid-Atlantic Conference, Akron is 20-8. They stand a good chance of getting into March Madness. Missouri Valley Conference, I don't see. Well, Indiana State could probably get in. That would be, isn't that Indiana State, the home of alma mater of Larry Bird? Drake could get in as well. They're 23-6. And Bradley, 20-9. All three schools are very good basketball schools. Bradley, Drake, you know, and Indiana State all have history. The Mountain West Conference, Utah State is ranked 22 in the nation. San Diego State is ranked 20. San Diego State is 22-7. Utah State is 23-5. Boise is 20-8. Nevada is also 23-6. So those four teams could get a bye into the NCAA March Madness, even without winning the conference, but UNLV will have to win And so I think New Mexico is going to have to win as well. UNLV is 17-10. New Mexico is 21-7. They stand a chance of getting in on their own merit, but I doubt that they'll be part of the 64. They could be part of the 68, though. Wyoming's going to have to win and Colorado State's going to have to win the championship for the Mountain West. So it's really interesting how this is all going to pan out. The Pac-12, Arizona Wildcats are going to be in. They are 21-6, and they're ranked 6th in the United States. Washington State Cougars are ranked 19 in the United States, and they are 2nd in their conference. So those two teams are definitely going to be in. Oregon Ducks can get in by virtue of winning the Pac-12. The UCLA Bruins are going to have to win the Pac-12 in order to get a bye into the March Madness, as would be Utah and Arizona State. So the UC Trojans, they're screwed. USC Trojans, they're going to have to win the conference championship, which is going to be a tough task on their part. Colgate's in at the Patriot League. Lehigh, Boston University is going to have to win. Southern Conference, Tennessee Vols, ranked number 4 in the country. Alabama's ranked 14. Auburn's ranked 11. South Carolina, 18. Kentucky Wildcats ranked 16. And the Florida Gators ranked 24. If the Florida Gators have a poor SEC conference championship, they're probably not going to get in. Although they could get in as the 66th or 68th team and play in a one-game playoff to get into the final 64. But the SEC looks like they're poised to have 6 teams in the NCAA championship. If Mississippi State should happen to win the SEC conference, that might give the SEC 7 teams in the March Madness. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. And Samford Bulldogs are probably in the Southern Conference. They're 25-4. UNC Greensboro seems to get in. They're 20-9. But they're going to have to win as well. So interesting how it's all going to pan out here. Sorry, Hank, I didn't get to too much sporting activity. Major League Baseball is now in their spring season, both in Florida and Arizona. The Grapefruit League and the Cactus League are in full swing. Opening day is, I believe, the end of March. So we'll have 4 more weeks of spring training, and watch the Yankees and Tampa Bay in Port Charlotte, and Tampa Bay won that game. So be able to watch some games on MLB Network if you're so inclined to watch. It'll be a lot of the farm team guys who are trying to win a spot as a starting roster, although some of the Yankee prospects actually were terrible. they're just awful. I hate to say it, but you know that their pucker factor is they're trying so hard to make it, and they made a lot of mistakes. So it's going to happen in spring training. The Rangers playing the Columbus Blue Jackets. Rangers had 11 wins in a row going into Columbus the other night, and they lost to the lowly Columbus team. Lowly. How the hell could they lose to Columbus? But the Columbus Blue Jackets are in New York right now, playing at Madison Square Garden. Now, not Garden, that would be in Boston, but they're playing Madison Square Garden, and let's see how they do. The Rangers are playing great hockey right now. They have 81 points, which is really good. They have a 39-17 record. I am a Rangers fan, as is iGuy. Florida Panthers have 82 points. Boston Bruins, once again, have 82 points. They lead their Atlantic Division. Columbus Blue Jackets are last in the Metropolitan Division, and the Rangers are first. So the lowly Columbus Blue Jackets at 48 points. So something's not right with the Rangers. They may have the number. That always happens when you have a team of, you know, who's not doing as well and they can dominate the good teams. Vegas Knights, 73 points. Vancouver Canucks, 83 points in the Pacific Division. And in the Central Division, Winnipeg Jets, 79 points. Dallas Stars, 79 points. Colorado Avalanche, 77 points. So the Western Conference is pretty tight. The Atlantic Conference, the Eastern Conference is starting to come to fruition, so we'll start to see what happens. You know, it's kind of cool watching the Rangers play. They're 9-1 in the last 10 games, and they have things going. So, you know, let's see what happens if the Rangers can pull one out tonight and get back on the road to the ice to victory. So, folks, I'm at the end of the 2 hours. I want to thank Hank Jones for allowing me to sit in for him this evening. I want to thank you all in podcast land. I want to give a shout out to Hank and Mrs. Hank and congratulate them for being grandparents with their new grandson being brought into the world. May God bless them all, including their grandson. I know that Hank is quite proud, and it's kind of, for those of us who know Hank, it's like, can you picture Hank as a grandfather? Now, listen, Hank's a great guy. I've known him for we've known each other in a good number of years, and he's a good man. He really is. He's a very nice man, very nice family, I have a lot of respect for Hank. So, congratulations to Hank and Mrs. Hank, and may God bless the entire family. So Saturday, we have the minister Simon Dakduk at a Straight Wave Grace Ministry right here on Global Patriot Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out the beautiful Christy and Simon Dakduk revealing the truth about Islam. Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with Mama Mia No Sharia. And other shows on Block Talk Radio include on Friday evening, you've got Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and author Curtis Bennett from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Block Talk. Check out her show. It's called Southern Sense Talk Radio. If you want a break from politics and you want an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show. It's going to be on 8 o'clock tonight. In the next 3 minutes over at Spreaker.com, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. It's a great self-help show. Joshua does a fantastic job, and I got to give him a lot of credit. And there are some great, great self-help tips that he does give. And I'll tell you, I've started using them and exercising and stuff, and I do feel much better. But I won't tell Joshua that because it gets a big head and it's ego. And anyways, Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She's a great American. Her sidekick, Mr. P, does some great rants. So check out Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, AudreyRusso.com. Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, check out Joe Gibson, Restoring Our Republic. You know, folks, these are great Americans. We do want to restore our republic. America is a republic. It's a constitutional republic, a representative democracy. We are not a democracy. A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. Remember that. The subversion of language by the left-wingers is intentional, and it's an intentional way to condition Americans to believing that America is not a constitutional republic. So check out these great shows, these great Americans. Thank you, Sue from New Mexico, a great American. Thank you, iGuy, great to see you. Snowman James, great to see you, James. Alaskan Boyd. Of course, I want to give a shout-out to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. He's got a great blog spot. If you have a chance, I would add that to your reading list each and every day. Great stories. Big does a fantastic job in putting that blog spot together. And also, he's a great educator, too. He's a great tour guide. So when he goes out on vacation, he takes pictures. Anyways, check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for joining me. Join Hank next week at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with Hank Jones and Polly Sports. God bless you all. Take care, everyone. Ciao for now. Oh, no.
not me. I did it,
my way.
For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say a thing. He truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows, I took the blow.
Ciao for now.